Hey everyone, welcome to the talk back episode of Letters I'll Never Send. We have got a handful of folks on this call to talk about it. I am Justin Melrose, the director of the show. Would the rest of y'all mind quickly introducing yourselves?
Yeah, I'm Nicole. I am the writer slash producer, a writer slash producer.
Hi, I'm Dulce. I play Sadie, and I also produce this with Nicole.
I'm Hayden, and I played Aaron.
I'm Rachel, and I play Talia.
Awesome. Thank you all for being able to join us for this conversation. So I think we should probably start at the beginning, which was actually before I got involved. Because I had heard about the project from Nicole and Dulce. So would y'all mind kind of telling us about how this came to be?
Yeah, you're going to make me talk. I had reached out to Dulce to be like, you know, hey, I have this book and I have the rights to it and it's a pandemic, so it would be cool if we could do something, you know, interesting with it. And she had come up with the idea to do a podcast. And that was pretty much what happened. I don't know if you want to add anything more specific.
Yeah, I'll add that Nicole was like, let's make this a musical first.
Oh boy.
And then it was like, there's a worldwide pandemic. So theater was shut down for a year and a half. And at that point I was getting really into podcasting and I had just done a fiction podcast and I was working on my own that I was going to be dropping. And that's when I was like, oh, let's just make it a podcast because that's easy. And then it wasn't. That's basically the story of why we chose podcasting as a format, because it was something that we could do. We could connect with people all over the country without them having to be in the same place. And that was the reason why we chose podcasting as a medium.
All over the country, and I'll also say out of the country, Beatrice is in Brazil, and there was a while that Janelle was in Canada. So it was really like it was a very pandemic project.
Yeah, one of the things I took a note here of is that we started recording January 2nd of 2021, which is, we were definitely like still in the midst of the pandemic, but we had finally conquered 2020 and we were just a couple days out of it at that point. Nicole was the one that had reached out to me initially just saying like, hey, would you like to play a small role in this podcast we're doing? And I was like, sure, that sounds like a small commitment. And then you asked me to be the director, which ended up being a much larger commitment. but it has been a blast to work on all the way through. But yeah, so that was kind of how that evolved. I think most of the casting had been done before I came on. So Hayden and Rachel, I think that y'all had already been drafted into the project by that point.
Yeah, I think, Nicole reached out to me because she's my sister. And she was basically just like, hey, I really want you to be a part of this project. And I've never done any kind of acting, voice acting thing before. So I was kind of hesitant. But she was like, I'll give you a small role. It's not a big deal. But I think it ended up being a pretty good fit. So
I will also say, Rachel, that I both wanted someone involved who like cared a lot about mental health and about like that aspect of the podcast. And right now she is about to start her second year of a psych program in Massachusetts. And she's doing really awesome. And then also I was like, I think we should recruit someone who's particularly dramatic for this role. And we both know that's you.
Yeah, you've got a lot of personal similarities with Talia. I'm pretty much the same person, right?
No way.
Well, that's also what's really fun about it is like watching you, and I felt the same way about the other Rachel and about Maya who played Kate and Claudia, watching them, you know, kind of take these really dramatic characters and characters that, you know, were kind of the villains in some way in the story and doing a really awesome job with them. But I'll let Hayden speak about your experience.
Yeah, speaking of people that actually have, I think, a lot of similarities with their characters, because like, yeah. I know that when you came in, you kind of like really took the script and ran with it, Hayden.
Well, I was first going to ask Nicole how you chose people.
I was going through the manuscript, and there were a couple times that certain people leapt out in my head, and that was the case with you and the case with Rachel. And then there were other folks that it took a long time to find someone to do Marina. And we ended up going with Aisha, who had a lot of experience. And this whole podcast was a big mix of people that had a lot of experience and people that had no experience. And for Marina, I did think that if we were going to have an adult play a 6-year-old child, it should have been someone with experience. So it was just a whole kind of mix. And then, you know, thinking about who I thought would care about the project was something that was important to me. And Justin and Dulce also brought some folks in. So I don't know if y'all want to speak to that, but.
I'll just quickly say, I mean, I didn't bring in a whole lot of people, but I did bring in Chris Bear, who played Terry, who is a near and dear friend of mine, who I really started getting to know doing theater together in college. And to my knowledge, he hasn't done any like full-blown professional theater / voice acting kinds of things, which I think is really interesting about this group, that as far as people that have done this kind of thing professionally, I think that those numbers are pretty low. I mean, like certainly varying amounts of experience, but doing professional voice acting, getting professional jobs as like actors is a remarkably challenging thing to pull off. But it is, it's amazing that regardless of the level of experience that somebody brought in, I think at least that the performance that everybody was able to give is professional grade. You know, I think that there are listening through the podcast like little moments of like blips and trip ups and whatever, and that's kind of the nature of doing a pandemic project like this, especially when I don't think anybody came into this being like, yes, this is going to be the award-winning podcast of 2021. We were just trying to trying to bring this project to life and make it a thing that actually happens. And here we are. It is a thing that has happened and that we pulled it off. I feel like there was, In the process of casting, there was a lot of, please do this, I love you and you're my friend, and we need you.
Yes.
Nicole asked me to be in this like a couple months before we actually started, and I was kind of like, okay, great, sure, give me more info. I don't have any experience, but I definitely fit the description, and I also had not read the book, so... And I wasn't as prepared for the session as I could have been. We were recording episodes 1 and 3 the first time. And I had read episode 1 and I was like, okay, great. And so I hadn't read any of episode 3. And I'd been in a car accident the day before we were recording. So I just like didn't have time to read the thing. And so I was like, whatever. Found out a week later that I was actually concussed. So that makes sense why like I forgot about the podcast recording session and I forgot to like read the stuff. But maybe, you know, Aaron's just spacey, so that's fine. But
you know what, you should have.
Yeah, I didn't have any.
So that's what matters.
I didn't have any experience, and so I was definitely kind of nervous about that too. But I was like, okay, they'll just like, I'm good at following directions. So like Justin will just tell me what to do and hopefully like we won't have to do a ton of takes. It was great. And it was also cool that I liked that it was a mix of people that had a lot of experience and people that didn't, and then people that like knew a lot about the thing but maybe didn't have experience. Because I felt that made it less intimidating, at least for me on my end.
I will say redirection, that Dulce initially was like, well, we need a director. And I was kind of like, why? Like what, you know, with the podcast, like how does that work? Not, you know, like there's no point in a director, but that I like-
Wow, Nicole.
Yeah.
Wow.
but that I just really didn't know how that would work. But then Justin came in and I realized how much this brought to the project. And he's done an amazing job. So there, I ended up giving you a compliment.
Well, I appreciate it. There were a lot of times that kind of felt like I've just been like hanging out here while the voice actors do like incredibly moving performances with some pretty incredible writing, and then just getting to be like the first audience. But yeah, I mean, yeah, we really did, I think, all collectively bring in a lot to make this like a thing that I feel like is pretty powerful in the end. I think that one of the other things that's interesting, and I don't think that it would necessarily be great for all of us to go around and talk about identities unless y'all want to. But I mean, coming to this as someone that like has depression and anxiety, and being able to, yeah, I mean, like have these conversations in whatever form it was, I think, very validating. I think that a lot of folks will read through this or hear this story and see parts of themselves in it. And I've already like heard, even from, while you might not necessarily think of Letters I'll Never Send as a podcast that will be enjoyed by middle-aged conservative white women, it has been, and has been received shockingly well, which is such a delight, because it is a very human story and a personal story, and everybody brought their own experiences to that.
I mean, yeah, I can say that like it was really cool to see just a bunch of people that cared a lot about this coming together to do this. You know, I'm not like a 35-year-old Latina lesbian, but I put a lot of myself and what I had dealt with through like mental health into Sadie. And so like that was cool and really weird to see that be brought to life so well.
I think that kind of segues us nicely into a question of like, when you were in character, what do you feel like was your relationship with the character that you were playing? Did you feel like you were tapping into something in yourself? Did you feel like you were kind of hunting to find who this very different person was? What was the experience of kind of stepping into that role? Dulce, if you want to toss in an answer first, since I think that you spent more time than anybody else on this call being in the shoes of your character.
Yeah, well, I am in a lot of ways like Sadie. I'm also Latina. I'm a white passing Latina. I'm not her age. I think she's like a good decade older than me. And she's also a mom, which I am not. But she, I think we have a lot of, there were a lot of similarities I saw myself in her, in just terms of like how she copes with anxiety and how she like goes through depressive episodes and everything that I go through similarly. So that's what I drew upon. We were very similar, and I was tapping into stuff that I experienced personally, but I never vocalized. And so that was really cool to just, I think it definitely, like playing Sadie has made me more open to talk about like how I process stuff. Like sometimes I'll go through periods of time where like I will literally ghost like every single person in my life. And that's something Sadie has done, and there's a whole letter about it. And instead of just like continuing to ghost, like I'll be like, hey, went through a depressive episode, I am back now. And that's kind of how I've been processing that. And like right now, as I'm like talking, I have like 600 unread messages on my phone, and it's like daunting and just debilitating sometimes. But I'm learning to understand that it's just ways my anxiety manifests, and just ways stuff that I haven't learned how to cope with yet, but that I hopefully will someday. I'm trying to find my Rosa too. That was something about Sadie that I really envied, that it's not like me. Like I have not been able to find a therapist like Rosa, and hopefully soon. And then I'll learn what Sadie has learned. But yeah, just in summary, she's very different from me, but we're very similar in the way we process our own mental health issues.
I will briefly say before Rachel and Hayden can jump in that, having written my own kind of like ideal therapist, I now really struggle to find a therapist that I like. I'm like, well, why aren't you a little more like Rosa? Rosa's not real, but like you could be a little more like Rosa. So I absolutely vibe with what you just said, Dulce.
There are good therapists out there, I promise. Sometimes it takes a few tries to get the right one, but it is possible. To answer this question, I mean, I personally don't identify with Talia at all. However, I feel like everybody knows a Talia. Everyone's had some kind of an encounter with a Talia. And I think that in voicing her, I kind of drew into people that I've encountered before. And something that I've struggled with is setting my own boundaries with people like that. And that's something that Sadie kind of struggles with. And we see her finally drawing those boundaries, which was really cool to see because it's something that I'm still working on. So,
yeah, I think character-wise, I have a fair amount in common with Erin. The biggest thing which caught me off guard in episode 3 is that I just tell everyone and anyone that I am potentially dating or being friends with that I'm trans and queer. So that's, yeah, that's different. But yeah, I think finding the right therapist is hard because a lot of people, most people are constrained by insurance or, you know, access in some way or another. And then even if you can find the right therapist, like maybe they also can't help you with all your issues. So yeah, it's hard to find the right doctor. Also, I think sometimes it can be hard to fire your doctor. But a lot of people, like, once they hear the phrase fire your doctor, you're like, oh, right, like, this is for me. You know, like, if my doctor isn't, like, you can tell your doctors what to do. I tell my doctor what to do all the time. He doesn't always listen to me, you know, and I always don't listen to him, but I can still tell him what I want him to do. So, yeah, I think it's hard to find a dynamic with someone that you can trust and that is accessible. Or like whatever that access means. Yeah, I think there's always a lot of debate about like who should be telling whose stories or like who has the right to tell whose stories. And I think Nicole, when you first told me, you must have told me that Erin was trans, like in the pitch, you know? So I think I was just like, yeah, sure, great. And then I guess, after I was reading it, I was like, how many other Asian trans masked people does Nicole know anyway? You know, so it's kind of like, okay, maybe it was no brainer that she chose me. But regardless, I think like during quarantine, Disclosure came out, which was on Netflix about the history of trans representation in the media, which is a film that everyone should see. But basically it's like trans people should play trans people so that all people can play trans people. And because of a lot of misconceptions. So that was something else that I was kind of thinking about, like in terms of like the big picture of things. Yeah, but when you pitched it to me, you're like, oh, it's about mental health. And I was like, great, sure, I'm in. So that was kind of all it took for me. Yeah, I think healthcare is really important. But I think Erin is someone that cares about the people that he cares about. And I think I'm someone who like really cares about the people that are in my support system.
I'll also say like representation in media, that if folks are looking for more like actual trans people playing trans characters, that Pose is an incredible show. And I am waiting for the third season to come out on Netflix, not so patiently. It's taking all my effort not to look up spoilers, but the first two seasons are on Netflix.
I wanted to quickly chime in before we get too far away from it that I Hayden, I really loved what you said about being able to fire your doctor. I think that, yeah, Sadie's experience talking about Lucy, the previous therapist. Yeah, I think that for a lot of folks, the first doctors we have, the first therapists we have, if we were fortunate enough to have them when we were young, as opposed to having to hunt down our first ones as an adult, those relationships were not often relationships that we chose in full. I remember when I was, you know, in middle school, going to my first therapist to talk about ADHD, which was, yeah, for sure, like affecting my life. But a lot of those conversations ended up being my family talking with the doctor about all the things I was doing wrong and not about how to help me. And So yeah, I mean, from that point, I think kind of got into my head of like, oh, okay, the doctor is the person that's assigned to you to fix, to like address your problems and tell you what you're doing wrong. And it took me a long time to remind myself that that's not how that's supposed to work, that you're supposed to have some control over your mental health treatment and that it is not something that is inflicted upon you.
Yeah, I definitely, I can speak to that. So Lucy may or may not have been based off a real person. In real experiences, there was a person, a therapist that had come to my house as a child and had been like, you're going to cause your parents to divorce, which is like not something you can say to a small child. So I had seen a lot of therapists like throughout my childhood, and only recently had kind of come to the realization that like, oh, I can choose this for myself. And I talked a lot about this with Rachel, who has been telling me to see a therapist for many, many years. And I don't think that I could have because I wasn't ready. But I think that having that level of control has been a really big deal for me, and not having that person chosen for me and that being a relationship that I can build and I am in control of has made a lot of difference.
I was going to say, Nicole, I was thinking about like whenever I'm in contact with someone from college or something, you know, of course I started thinking more about those other people that I knew in college, but I was in therapy when I was very young. I was in family therapy. My parents actually divorced when I was young. And one of the big things, two things, well, a couple of things, but one of the big things that they say is like, it's not your fault. Like, and also I was adopted. So they really, you know, pushed it to be like, this wasn't your fault. But also I was thinking about people that we went to college with, and we had like free, as in included with tuition, counseling services. That people could go to at least for a number of sessions, you know, at least not just one time for the most part. For most people, it's not like they could see someone there for all 4 years that they were at college. But I had like another friend who we were really trying to encourage some other friends to go to therapy. And they're like, I don't want to. And they're like, oh, my parents like don't believe in that. It's like, your parents literally aren't going to find out. Like, this isn't billed or anything, you know, it's like, just go. And so one of them, I think, ended up going and meeting with someone and was just like, after one time, it's just like, oh, I didn't like them. It's like, okay, well, that's not really how this works, you know? So I think it's also hard to kind of be like, give them a chance, but also you can fire your doctor, but also like, you might not find the right one right away. So it's kind of hard to encourage someone who's like never been to therapy, especially like their parents would say like really negative things, like, you know, it's when it's like, oh, what about therapy? It's like, what do you mean? Like, nothing's wrong. Or like, you don't need to take a bill for that. You know, just other things where it's like, why would you go to therapy? Like, or like, nothing, you know, yeah. Like, wait until you're in crisis. And it's like, well, that's also not the point. So I think there's, there's a lot of misconceptions about therapy. And even if someone probably knows it would be helpful for them, it's still really hard. Even when like it is available to them, then it's like, oh my gosh, literally just go. But I was just thinking about that recently too. And it's like, yeah, sometimes you're just not ready. Yeah.
I think that really the bottom line for it is just don't convince yourself that there is no therapist out there that will be able to fit what you're dealing with. Cause there's, it's like dating. There's someone somewhere. It might take a little bit. You might have to go through a few of them, but I highly recommend it if finances are an issue, like Googling free therapy in X city, that there may hopefully in cases be options. I know that in a lot of like cities, there tend to be more options than in rural areas. But there are also online counseling services, and yeah, I mean, there's a variety of places that you can turn to. I think that just kind of sitting at home and being like, nobody can fix the problems I'm dealing with. Okay, well, it's worth at least giving it a shot, and that there are options, and don't expect it to be perfect right off the bat, because it probably won't be, but you got to put something into it.
I'm wondering, from the four of y'all who had characters and who had, you know, roles, that if you could play a different character, if you could choose and, you know, have voiced any other character, who would it be? And I'm going to pick on Rachel because she's my sister and I love her.
Probably Rosa, just because I'm pursuing a career in therapy and I feel like I would have been very comfortable in that role and it would have been cool. And I feel like I could have applied some of my knowledge and experience to it.
Yeah, I got the very enjoyable brief experience of getting to play Mark. But other than that very boring man, I would say that I probably would enjoy getting to play Terry. Terry, I find as just being such a great example of a supportive partner. And also, I think that he exudes some pretty powerful bi-wife energy, which I appreciate. I think that he's such a good example of a partner that, like, yeah, being able to have good banter in your relationship and also being able to prioritize your partner when you need to. He probably doesn't do a great job of prioritizing himself when he needs to, but also it's hard to do that when your partner is dealing with everything that Kim is dealing with in this podcast.
I think I would want to play Kate if I were older, just because I think I find the characters that are most opposite of you and most different of you and also a little bit villainous are the most fun to play. So I would have loved to play that. And I was always so jealous when we did recordings with Rachel, because she seemed like she was having a blast and just like her, like getting to make that character, like the voice and everything seemed like a lot of fun.
I was like, first of all, I was like, I can't think of all the characters. And I think I also just don't know. I knew Nicole would think that that's funny. And then I also was like, also, I don't think I would have wanted anyone else to play Aaron. So I think Marina's fun, but like, I have no experience. And I think that that's just just the child is a fun character.
One of the interesting questions, we have notes here that we're going off of. And one of them is voice acting something you hope to do in the future? I think that I'd be curious to kind of expand a little bit to, are projects like these something that you'd be interested in doing more of in the future? And to quickly answer for that for myself, I love storytelling. I love getting to work with very talented people. This was a lot of work for zero pay. It's a challenge and it was incredibly rewarding and I would do it again if I could go back in time. But if Nicole comes to me next week and says, hey, I've just written a new book, let's do a podcast, I'm probably going to say, talk to me when you're on to the next one and choose a different director for this time around. I'd be curious to hear from Nicole next, and then Dulce is the two people that put in also vast amounts of work towards this.
Not for a very, very, very long time. I was thinking, so I have a book coming out in October. It's a dystopia. And while I was doing some edits, I was kind of in podcast brain because this was what we were recording. And I was thinking, you know, like, oh, how would this sound in a podcast? How would that sound in a podcast? And then I was like, no, I'm not doing that. This is not happening again so soon. Like, this is not, it was a greatly enjoyable experience. And also, I need a minute. So I'll pass it along.
For me, this is the second project I did. I've done a little bit of voice work, but I'm primarily a stage actor and I've done a bit of film. So I think I prefer those mediums. I do enjoy the ability of voice over being something that you can do by yourself and anywhere in the world. But I also, the things I love about theater and performance and storytelling is the ability to connect with other people. And just, that's why I prefer like being on stage or like working with other people in person when that's possible. So I want to continue doing that. And every once in a while, continuing to do this, I do have another podcast I do. So I get my fix of doing of recording on a mic, but I prefer other forms and mediums for storytelling.
Dulce won't hype herself up to the extent that she should be hyped up, because I think we're all just like shy, awkward people, but definitely should check out that podcast and also Dear on Apple TV, in which she low-key works with Lin-Manuel Miranda. So That's yes. She's making all for listeners. She's making all kinds of faces at me right now. But
thank you, Nicole. I will remember to hype you up as much and make you comfortable next time.
Great.
On a related note, Delta, would you be able to like real quick rattle off, aside from Letters I'll Never Send, what other projects that you're working on that folks might be able to hunt down?
Well, since I do primarily theater, let's see. Well, the play I just finished today, that one is going to be live streamed. It's going to be on social media, so you can check that out. It's called Scherzo. It's a play about a statue who was a politician and now has a dialogue with the character of the earth, which is, it's very mythological, but also very timely. It was written over 70 years ago by a Colombian playwright and translated for English audiences. And Dear on Apple TV. I also have this short film I worked on, but I don't know when that's gonna come out. And I also, the other podcast that I worked before this, it's called Pod 115. It's a sci-fi series. The first season is up. It features different cast. I'm in the second season, which again hasn't been released, which is kind of like the fun slash annoying part about creating projects that you don't handle, is you never know when the release dates are. Like Dear, I filmed that like it took them a year after I filmed for them to even release that. So but yeah, primarily do stage work, but you can also check out my podcast. It's called Telenovelas con Dulce, where I talk about telenovelas, primarily Mexican telenovelas. So if you have ever been curious about that, it's been a lot of fun to do. And yeah, and I've gotten to talk to a few telenovela actors, which has also been really fun. So yeah, check that out.
Awesome. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that folks would be able to, yeah, see folks where you all are and doing awesome work. I wish that I had something else that I could plug. I don't. Hayden, I'd be curious to hear from you if you think that you would like to do something like this more, if you've done stuff like this in the past.
Well, it's funny because I did little theater stuff and like middle school and stuff like that, but nothing, you know, whatever. And then I did visual art in high school. But after we did this, I like messaged Nicole, I think, and I was like, thanks for letting me do this. Like, I really enjoyed doing this. I might be interested in doing this. And the only person I could talk to about voice acting other than this was my friend's roommate. And she works in like animation. Like she works with like animation voice actors. Like she's working on the next Shrek movie. So kind of very different information from like what I would have gotten from anyone who's here. So that kind of wasn't exactly what I was looking for, but it was still helpful to like hear from someone. So I was kind of interested in that for a little bit. And I was like motivated about that. And then I was like, I can't do accents. So it's like, I don't know how, now I'm getting like into the practical, but it's like, I don't know where I would go because I just want to be typecast basically. Like I want it to be just like this, where I'm just like, this is who I am. This is what my voice sounds like. Is this a character that you've already written? which isn't really, you know, how it works. But I did really enjoy this. I also, like, I don't know when else I would have had the opportunity. Who else would have given me the opportunity to do something like this? Because how else would I have known that it was something that I enjoyed doing? So I was really glad to do it. Again, also, like, earlier you talked about, I think, Kate, but I enjoyed, there was one session I got to sit in where I just, like, stayed longer and it was fun to watch everyone talk because it was a very different scene than the ones that I've been in. So yeah, I thought that was interesting as well.
Let you know if I ever do another podcast, Hayden.
How about you, Rachel? You think you'd take on something like this again?
Oh gosh, probably not. Probably just because I just don't think I'm talented in this kind of aspect. definitely not where my forte is, but it was a really cool experience. So I'm glad I got to be a part of it.
Rachel is also underselling herself. When we were kids, I used to write all kinds of plays that she would star in. So.
Oh my gosh, wait, you're unlocking a memory. I would have you write them. Yeah, I was a bit of a diva. And Nick was always such a strong writer from such a young age. And she would take the time to write plays for me. And I would perform them in front of her and my mom. And sometimes when I would have friends over also, I would have her write a play for us to perform. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. So yeah, I guess it's always been there, but not something I want to pursue.
I'd be reading like the latest Harry Potter book. Full disclosure, JKR is still transphobic. And Rachel would come up to me and be like, could you put this aside and like write me a play right now, like real quick? So that's Rachel's previous acting experience.
That has such Little Woman energy. And I really enjoy that.
Yeah, I adore that this is a story that we now get to know about and that is going to be permanently recorded in this podcast.
Great. I'm looking through the questions that Justin, Dulce, and I all have, but also Rachel and Hayden, if you want to bring anything up, if there's anything you're wondering or just feel like talking about.
I was going to say anytime I like read something about mental health, I mean, maybe not now, but like, what? The last 5 years or so, I always be like very wary because I'm like, oh, what are people gonna say? Because I've been in therapy since I was really young, and people would like make jokes about that when I was younger. Of like, people, I mean, now people like as an insult say go to therapy, but this was before like people said it as a thing. And I remember one time someone said that, and like everyone was like, oh my god, and I was like, I do not take that as an insult. Like, it was like, yeah, I have a therapist, and I've always had a therapist. But I didn't really know that it was an insult, so I think that's funny. But I know that we've all, I'm sure, seen things that probably, you know, misconstrue some mental illness or another. And I was just gonna say, like, working on this project obviously was also part of being like, okay, we want to be a part of not continuing to do that. And it sounds like, yeah, a lot of us, yeah, know that maybe people that we know have a lot of misconceptions about mental health issues. So I was just also going to throw that in. That's something that I was thinking about while working on this project too. And I think also kind of a point of Nicole, like you doing this, you know, yeah, that was something else that I've been thinking about too. And then also when I was thinking about like, you know, oh, these people in college did like have access to therapy, even if it isn't long-term therapy, and they still didn't themselves feel like it was accessible. So just, yeah, thinking about other barriers to things like this.
I think that representation is so great when you're talking about different kinds of like mental health things, and to be able to read and hear this story. And I mean, for myself, a lot of it were things that were very familiar for me, but I know that also for folks that have not had some of those lived experiences of depression and anxiety and things of that nature, that this gives a pretty dang concrete insight into what that looks like and what that feels like. Not just knowing like, oh, somebody, you know, goes to the hospital because they like, you know, tried to take their own life and now they're back and everything's great, but it's not like that. And we get to see the insight into that character's mind, that there's so much more going on inside somebody's head than what we actually get to see. And I think that's one of the things that's really delightful about this story, is getting the view into Sadie's head, in addition to getting to see the outside world. I also think that it's such a powerful writing choice that Sadie's writing is in the second person, and this whole story is just really encouraging you like to experience this, to allow yourself to explore and feel these kinds of struggles, to like take it personally and yeah, confront it in ways that you may have not had to if you were lucky.
Yeah, I think that stigma, what you were talking about, Hayden, is that, you know, like when I was growing up, I would definitely like, I wouldn't tell people I was in therapy. There were, you know, like a small group of people that knew. And then like, you know, I myself went into the psych hospital when I was 14 for suicidal ideation. And when I came out, you know, it was obvious I had been away for however many days. And so I told people that I had been there to adjust my meds in a controlled environment, because that was something that they had mentioned once, and something that was so like strange and somewhat believable, but I think people latched onto it because there was such a stigma around it. So that was definitely something that, you know, when you said that resonated.
I think that at this point, we are about an hour in, a little bit under. So I think that we can probably start getting towards the end. But I think that it would be great for everybody that's here to, one of the questions we had is there another book, movie, TV show, podcast about mental health or any of the topics of Letters I'll Never Send that you'd like to recommend? And I think that we can also add in that if you feel that you've got any projects or personal social media channels that you would like to promote, I think that this is probably a good time to do so. Nicole, do you want to kick that off? Do you have a recommendation and you want to tell us what you're working on?
Yeah. Something that I am looking forward to watching that is on my watch list is Special. And that is on Netflix, but I have not seen yet. But something that I could recommend is probably, I'm not a big John Green fan, honestly. I know a lot of people are, and I know this is controversial. And he seems like a delightful person, but one of his books that I really actually enjoyed was Turtles All the Way Down, which is about a young girl with OCD. She's in high school, and John Green has talked openly about his struggles with OCD and put a lot of that into the character. So I think it's unlike a lot of his books in that it's very much, it's much more real. It's much more like based from it. I'm gonna get so much hate now that I'm just bashing John Green. I promise he seems like a cool dude, but just gonna pass it to Hayden.
I mean, I'm not working on anything. That was an easy one to answer, but I can't think of anything that like directly addresses mental health. I binge watch a lot of shows. So I have a lot of shows where I'm like, if someone wants to like dedicate a lot of their time to watch something, to feel some type of thing, you know, but yeah, I can't think of anything that specifically kind of talks about mental health. I think there's a lot of information, like there are a lot of Instagrams and Twitters where like people are talking about their own experiences. And I've like used that to learn a lot of things. I think also like that isn't any type of substitute for a licensed professional, you know, at the same time. And so I think, you know, maybe people that don't, that have not gone to therapy don't really understand that, but people that have gone to therapy understand that, you know, finding those tools online, you know, if used in a way that actually is helpful for you, can be beneficial. So I think that that's been interesting as well.
I also struggle to think of some show that covers mental health. The closest I can think of is, I don't know if anyone has seen the show Lucifer. It's literally about the devil coming to Los Angeles and becoming a consultant for the LAPD. But there's a storyline that follows through the entirety of its run where he goes to therapy and he works through his problems by going through therapy. And I started watching the show a few years back, and it was like one of the first times I saw therapy portrayed as like a helpful resource and not like the scary thing or like this thing that meant you had failed at life. And it was just so funny and interesting. And the show is really fun. It's very campy and I really enjoy it. But I also love that it takes like, you know, even in this world, the devil needs therapy. So we all do.
I'm always very weary about recommending TV shows just because of the inaccurate depictions that are all over the media and through TV shows and movies. But I have read a couple books recently. The first one is Maybe You Should Talk to Someone by, I think it's Lori Gottlieb. And that is written by a therapist. And she basically talks about her experiences with some of her clients, but also something happens in her personal life and she ends up seeking therapy herself. So it was really cool to see her go back and forth between the lens of the therapist and the client with everything that she knows. And Nicole sent that book to me because I asked for it. and she's the best sister. And the other one I just started reading, it's called The Body Keeps Score. And I think the author's name is Bessel van der Kolk, something like that. Don't quote me. And that one is about the brain and the mind and the body and the impacts of trauma. And that is by, I believe he's a doctor, and he's just very well equipped to talk about the subject. And it's been very, it's just been really cool to read so far and to learn just more about that from an accurate depiction and from a scientific standpoint rather than what we see in the media. So I would recommend reading books from like people who are qualified to write about mental health rather than just sticking with books. It's okay to read books that, you know, have depictions of mental health that aren't always accurate, but as long as you're not clinging on to those and taking that as a wider lens than it really is.
On a related note, from somebody that is not a professional in the field, the book, It's Kind of a Funny Story by Ned Vizzini. It's also a movie, which is excellent. However, the book, I think, gets into a little bit more depth and all the things that people say about books versus movies. The book is such a great glimpse into real lived experience from the author, and in a fictionalized way. I think that it addresses a lot of the topics of depression and mental health in some really, I want to say entertaining ways, but I feel like that's not really making the point that I want it to. There's humor in it. It's a dark humor, but it's a way that I think makes it easier to consume than something that's just kind of a depressive slog, which brings me to my next pitch, which is the movie Wrist Cutters, A Love Story, which is very dark and pretty much a slog in some ways. It's also very funny. But I think that it is, at least as somebody dealing with depression, it is a fun escapist way of looking at it. It's a story in which when people take their own lives, they end up into a parallel world of this, which is just slightly shittier than our world. And it is an adventure story in search of the people in charge that run the whole system. It's a blast. It's an adventure. And I highly recommend it if you have the stomach for that kind of thing.
I think also I just want to point out that like the Ned Vizzini, John Green in writing these books also have dealt with the thing that they were writing about. And I think that that's, you know, what's so important about own voices is that they're so real. And then also I put this in the Zoom chat for the folks on this call, but also would like to mention One Day at a Time as a TV show folks should watch, because I think it has a very real look at PTSD and anxiety and depression. No offense to Rachel, who apparently hates all TV shows with mental health components.
No, that's not what I said. I'm just always very weary to like give recommendations in case they're not totally accurate. I don't want to cause that person to think that that is the most accurate depiction.
No, you are very highly educated in this, and I'm just a person with depression, so I get it.
Rachel, I understand that too. I think like, I mean, of my like close friends, I know what I can recommend to them, and I'll know that they'll like take it based on, you know, something we have in common. But yeah, I think it is hard to give like blanket recommendations for something that can be so personal for someone.
I would love to hear, I know we're pretty much out of time, but because these characters are so real to me and like have been yelling at me in my brain for so long, would love to hear real quick as we finish what y'all think happens to your characters after letters. I will make Justin start with Mark.
What an awful place to start. I think of Mark as somebody that hasn't done a whole lot of introspection, but he's also somebody that's going to hear the other side of Talia's story after everything that happens there. You know, I really like to believe, you know, okay, now I'm going to be realistic. I think that Mark, after hearing it direct from Talia, is probably also going to chime in and be like, wow, yeah, it sounds like Sadie's being pretty unreasonable. But I like to believe that over time, he I think that he learns. I really want him to learn. He's, I want him to learn. In my heart, he does. And until Nicole writes the follow-up book, yeah, I'm going to say that Mark figures it out and ends up being a real, you know, pillar of his community.
Look, there are all kinds of drafts of all kind of sequel nonsense that no one's ever going to see on my computer. And I can honestly say Mark is not in any of them.
Oh, thank God.
I can say I don't even know what happens at the end to Aaron of letters. I don't even, so I don't know.
You'll find out along with our listeners.
Yeah, exactly. I'm along for the ride.
I think Talia just never changes. I don't know. I feel like Talia is the type of person that is so set in her ways, and has almost convinced herself that she is always going to be in the right and that everyone else around her is either out to get her or in the wrong. And those kinds of people, it takes a lot for them to change that kind of mindset. So unfortunately, I don't think there's much character development to be had for her.
Do you think that Talia ends up seeing a therapist?
I sure hope so. But I mean, she just pegs me as the person who, if someone suggested therapy to her, she would get offended. Or she would be like, why? There's nothing wrong with me. I don't need to see a therapist. So
I think you would make a great therapist for Talia once you get that degree.
Thank you. I mean, I think she'd really grind my gears, but we have to put that aside in the session. So I think I could work with someone like that.
For Sadie, this is like a choice I think I made early on in the recording process. I always thought that she went on to write a book, and this whole story is like the book that she publishes. And you know, she we do get like a resolution to her story at the end of letters. She adopts another child. And she is like in a much better place. And I always thought that, you know, that once she reaches that place, she writes and publishes this book and becomes a critically acclaimed author.
I love that. That I think that is a perfect continuation of Sadie's story. All right. I think that we can wrap up here. Thank you to everybody on this call for taking the time to do this and talk all of this out. I know that for some of us, this has been a long, arduous process. And to our listeners, we are not currently done putting together all the episodes of Letters. You'll be hearing this after everything's been published, hopefully, fingers crossed, assuming everything goes well. But yeah, thank you all so much for everything you've put into this project. And to the listeners, thank you so much for supporting this and being willing to, explore this story with us. It's been a blast, and I hope that you all have enjoyed it.